I want to say thank you to the Talberts for leading music. What a wonderful thing it is and a blessing in this church to have people that are able to do what you need them to do when you need them to do it. And their family wears many hats in this church, from children's ministry all the way up to music and many things in between. So I'm so thankful for the Talberts for doing that and being available for that. In Philippians chapter 2, let's stand out of the for the reading of God's word this evening. We're going to read verses 5 through 11. It says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath also highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things on earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Father in heaven, we come before you tonight once again. We just ask that you would speak to us as your word is open. As I speak and my friends listen, Lord, may we be touched by you this evening. Now, may we learn something tonight about being a servant with your example before us. And Father, we'll give you all honor, glory, and praise, and it's for Jesus' name and his sake. Amen. You may be seated. "But made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." I want to talk to us this evening about being a servant. Lord willing, I hope, I want us to see first that Christ's example. Second, his call. And maybe a couple practical and scriptural things that will reveal to us are how in our life, how we are as servants as time allows. But we see Christ's example first. And we read it in Philippians 2, 7 and 8. And that very one, he was called a servant. But then in that last part, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, and even the death of the cross. John Rice said about this passage, he said, "Jesus is God. He was in the beginning with God. He is the creator of all things. Jesus deliberately laid aside the manifestation and outward appearance of deity. Although he is God, yet for the time he deliberately put out of his knowledge some of the things he knew as God, so that as a child he would grow in the wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. He chose to learn obedience by the things which he suffered. It appears that Jesus, when on earth, has laid aside his knowledge of the time of his second coming. On earth, he was still God. He had all power of God. And he had authority from God to do what he would. Instead of exerting this power, he humbled himself and made himself obedient to death. He took upon himself the form of a servant for our sakes. He had to live the life of a perfect man to be a pattern, and then to be a perfect substitute for sinners for whom he died. Christians are to humble themselves as Jesus did." We see, John Rice wrote those words, but we see in this passage exactly what he said. Christ came to serve for our sakes. He served mankind as God Almighty so that we might be saved. Matthew 20:28 says, "Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many." It repeats itself in Mark 10:45, the same exact verse. But in Luke 19:10, it says, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." Jesus gave us the perfect example of a servant. There are many things he did while he was on earth, and his purpose was to serve so that his Father could be glorified through him and he could point us to God. We see Jesus in the form of a man as a servant, not only to his Father, but to man. He went from city to city, healing mankind, teaching them, working with them, pointing us and them to his Father through him. And we see God exalting the name of Jesus above all, not only to show the power of his Son, but to glorify himself. Then we see him teaching in the New Testament to his disciples and to us how to serve. In John 13, 16, it says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him." You know, serving royalty is a high honor. Even in America, to be an executive assistant to the President of the United States would be quite a job indeed. But what about a servant who serves servants? Does this job carry the same prestige? Is there the same power involved in that kind of job? Jesus, just before he was crucified, made it a point to serve his servants. He washed the feet of his disciples and said, "For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you." Jesus then said, "The servant is not greater than his Lord." That is interesting. Jesus served his servants, his disciples. And then he said, "The servant's not greater than his Lord." Well, if the servant is not greater than his Lord, then how could this Lord serve his servants? In other words, was Jesus any less of a master by serving his disciples? Clearly, the answer is no. Am I any more of a master by refusing to serve? In verse 14 of the same chapter, Jesus says, "If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done unto you." It is easy for us to serve when we think we're going to be recognized for it. It's even easy to serve when we are doing a noble or just cause. But you know, there are people that serve in many different capacities, whether out in the community, even in their own church, that do it just for the recognition or praise of men. But you know what? There are people here at Faithway Baptist Church that serve in Sunday school classes, that serve in many other capacities. We have people come in once and even twice a week to clean this building. They serve servants. They take care of this facility so that this sanctuary can be ready for the Lord's Day on Sunday. We have people serving in so many different capacities. There are issues that happen during the week, maybe an electrical issue. Well, you know what? Someone sees the need and takes care of it. Most of us never even know there was a need and it was done. It was taken care of. Those people serve their Lord in a capacity that they are able to do. It is hard when we are serving and people are just expecting that we would do what we are doing. Are you willing to do great things for the Lord? In verse 37 of the same chapter, Peter told the Lord that he would follow him to death. Did Peter do that? No, shortly after that, he denied the Lord. He even knew the Lord. Now, eventually, through the Holy Spirit's empowering, Peter would follow Christ, and he would follow him to death. Most of us are interested in doing great things than doing the small things that we can do right now. Are you serving where God has called you to serve? This takes us to our second point, his call to service, or you could call it his will for your life. At the beginning of our text verse, we see it says in verse 5, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." At the beginning, Paul is writing us to let us know what it meant to be a servant. One, he is letting us know that Christ was a servant. But then he lets us know how we should follow Christ's example. Romans 12, 1 and 2, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove that what is that good and perfect will of God. Turn your Bibles to Matthew 11, Matthew chapter 11. I want us to see this evening his call to all of us. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 and 30, it says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take up my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Everyone serving is serving someone or something. To give you an example, whenever you were lost, before you were saved, the Bible says you were children of darkness. And when we accepted Christ as our Savior, which by the way meant we were serving Satan. He is the prince of darkness. He's the ruler of that area. But when we got saved, we become children of light. We became Jesus's, God's children. And it says, "Then walk ye there in the light." Everyone is serving someone. Now, when I say Christian service, you know, we talk about that a lot. We need to serve, we need to do Christian service. I'm not just talking about full-time Christian service. I'm not talking about exactly what we'd call vocational Christian service, like a preacher or a pastor, an evangelist, a missionary, maybe a Christian educator, maybe you're on staff at a church. That's not necessarily what I'm talking about. I'm talking about what you are doing is what God wants you to do. Now, I don't believe you'll ever know what God wants you to do until you're willing to do anything. God has a specific calling and a will for every single person. So if you don't know what God wants, but you're not willing to be that pastor, preacher, Christian educator, pastor's wife, maybe on staff at a church, if you've already closed that off to God, I believe with my heart of hearts that the Lord's not going to reveal to you what His will for your life is until you are surrendered. You'll never hear from God as to what you ought to be doing if you are doing every day as you want to do instead of what God wants. And by the way, there is no role serving God that is higher than any other role. You know, sometimes you hear good people, and I think they mean well, but they are categorically wrong. They'll say something on the lines of, you know, the highest calling that you can do in God's economy or in God's life and God's service is that you preach the Bible. Well, I'm thankful for the call of God on my life, which I believe is a high calling. But I think, and though I think it's a wonderful calling, the highest calling for you is not necessarily to be a preacher. The highest calling for you in your life is to do exactly what God would have you to do. You can't do better than God directing you in your life what He wants for your life. So like I said, that a preacher, well, I believe that's a high calling. And again, I thank God for that calling on my life. I also believe working for Apple is a high calling if that's where God wants you to be. I believe that you're working in a business selling cars is God's will for your life if that's where He would have you to be. Being a carpenter, building homes, or working in a financial institution. If that's what God wants you to do, if that's what God wants you to, where He wants you to be, then you can't have a higher calling than that. I thank God for preachers, but preachers would have no one to preach to if there wasn't someone selling cars, building buildings, paying, you know, writing checks, and so forth. There wouldn't be the body of Christ that we have today. Knowing what God's will for you in your life first comes with submission. So there's nothing more important than what God wants you to do. And don't confuse this business with full-time Christian service as the will of God. Because if you're not willing to be in full-time Christian service, you're not going to know what God's will is. But if you come to God and say, Lord, whatever you want, if you want me to be a preacher, if you want me to be a carpenter, if you want me to be a cowboy, Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. That's the will of God for your life. And God will reveal that to you. When you come to God with that statement, you can not only know what God's will is for your life, but you can do it, my friend. He empowers you to do what He has called you to do, and there is nothing greater than His calling on your life. And we can do it because we have the Creator of the world, Almighty God, that the Bible characterizes as a servant that says He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now you may say, Brother John, I can't do what you're saying. Sure you can. You say, well, you don't know my schedule. You don't know my insecurities. You don't know the pressure I'm under or the pressure I will be under if I surrender the way I am way you're talking about. Oh, okay, then you're right. God's a liar and God's word is false. Because He says in His word, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You can do it because the Lord Jesus says you can, and that is fact. It is the Lord's yoke. I don't want to be irreverent, but you could say if you would yoke up with Christ, you will find the will of God a perfect place to be. The Bible says you will have a meek and lowly master that serves with you. That means a gentle and humble master. Unlike those that serve themselves or the world, which have a harsh and proud master. Let me give you an illustration here. I love to ride horses. I don't get to do it as often as I like or very much anymore. But you can always tell a horse that has a hard mouth. And what I mean by a hard mouth is a horse that the horseman has guided him or directed him very harshly. He's always harsh on the bit in the horse's mouth, or he directs him with only the stirrups or a stick or even his spurs at times. I prefer to ride a horse or train a horse that is what we call neck rein or traditional Western. You're able to take that rein in your dominant hand. And if you want to go left, you can pick it up, gently take it to the left. The right rein will touch the neck of the horse. At the same time, without even putting pressure on the bit, you put your foot down just a little bit and your leg up against the side of the horse to cue that horse to bend around your leg. You can reverse the process on the other side by doing the exact same thing, just moving it to the right. But after that horse makes a turn, you just gently bring it back to center and the horse is perfectly calm. You want it to stop? You don't have to harshly put your feet into the stirrups and yank those reins back like a lot of people think you need to do and nearly bury the horse's head in the dirt. You just need to gently pull back. And if you continue to pull back, the horse will even go backwards for you. But you don't need to be harsh. In fact, it just takes that gentle touch from the horseman. Now, if you have a horse that has a hard mouth, it's not impossible, but it's hard to get it back to the point where it trusts with confidence a gentle horseman. A lot of times those horses have a harsh and rough spirit. And you know what? For a person like me, that horse is nearly useless if I can't gently get on and take it where I need it to go. You know, when a Christian, and yes, a Christian can, they can be saved and still be doing the bidding and the master's business of darkness. They can still be doing the bidding of the world. They can still be living for themselves. And a Christian like that usually has a pretty harsh spirit. And they are unusable to the Lord Jesus Christ until they come back to a point where they can be gently led. The Lord is like that gentle horseman that simply guides and leads you where you need to go. Now, this world wants us to serve ourselves. It has a harsh, very harsh master named Satan. He'll throw you in every which direction he wants to take you. But if you allow the Lord to lead you and you take up his yoke, the Bible says he'll never leave you nor forsake you. You have a friend that is close, sticks closer than a brother. He will gently lead us as we serve him. You know, the amazing thing is about a yoke, there's two. You're side by side with the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's working with you. We can either serve in his might, or we can labor and fail in our own strength. Because you are serving someone, there is no neutral ground. We either serve God and the will for our life, or we serve Satan and the things of this world. Like I said, I have 2 points after this that can help us show us spiritually where we are at in the area of serving. And more than likely, we'll just get to one of them tonight. But number one, serving is a sign of health. Serving is a sign of health. Turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 4. Verses 39. Luke chapter 4, verse 39. I love the song that we sang earlier, "Are You Washed in the Blood?" It's one of my favorite songs. You know, Jesus loves even me. You know, we had a Savior that came to earth, died on a cross. He served servants so that I might be saved. In the words, "Jesus loves even me," if you stop and think about who you are, who you truly are, and what you were, Jesus even loves me. He even loves you. What a representation, what an example of a servant we have. Serving is a sign of health. Luke chapter 4, verse 39 says, "Immediately she arose and ministered unto them." Would you like to be served breakfast in bed? Well, I can tell you, I've been served breakfast in bed, and it's overrated. In fact, there's a whole entire community that serves you breakfast in bed for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and it's called a hospital. I've been there. It's overrated. Would you rather be given breakfast in bed or be giving breakfast in bed? Taking breakfast in bed, as I said, is entirely overrated. And serving is underrated. In Luke 4, we have a story of Jesus. But the setting is at Peter's mother-in-law's house or home. Can you imagine being Peter's mother-in-law? For some of you men right now, it's pretty hard imagining being a mother-in-law at all. But for the sake of the sermon and illustration and the story, let's imagine that we are Peter's mother-in-law. The Bible says that Jesus went into Simon's house and his mother-in-law was taken with a great fever. And they besought him for her. It wasn't just a fever, it was a big one. And the people were concerned for her. They loved her enough to ask Jesus to help. Again, this isn't even the point here, but in this story, you have people seeking on behalf of a lady the Savior because they know he can heal. You had servants serving a servant, and they loved her enough to go seek out the Savior because they had a heart of service. The Bible says that he rebuked the fever, and it left her, and immediately she arose and ministered unto them. What did Jesus do? He healed her. What did she do? She served. When did she do it? She did it immediately. This illustrates something very important. It illustrates that serving is a sign of health. Everyone has problems. I have problems. You have problems. Everyone has worries. Everyone in this auditorium has worries. Many of us have things that we don't even know each other are going through. Everyone has questions. That doesn't make you unusual. What would make you unusual indeed is thinking about other people instead of thinking merely and only about ourselves. We need to be thinking how we can serve others. Serving is a common sign of health, as is eating. In Luke chapter 8, Jesus raises Jairus' daughter. And after she was raised back from the dead, the first thing Jesus did was to command the daughter be fed. It is a sign of life and health. If I'm eating and serving, I am healthy. The Lord's ministry to us is so that we will serve and minister to Him and to others. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3, it says, and this is speaking of God, it says, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we might be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith ourselves are comforted of God." Our trials that we go through, that the Lord helps us through, the things that we merely go through in life that the Lord delivers us from, we are to use to minister and to serve other people with. We are to serve. And by doing so, we lift up the name of Jesus. God is glorified. And Lord willing, that opens the door for someone else to come to know Christ as their Savior. In Luke chapter 17, verse 7, it says, "By which of you, having a servant plowing and feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by, when he is come from the field, go and sit down to meat?" You know, that doesn't happen. Verse 8 says, "And will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink? Doth he think that servant because he did the things that were commanded of him? I trow not. So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do." And I read that passage just to give us a little bit of the second point that we won't go over. But Christ enriches us. The things that we do don't necessarily enrich Christ. When we serve others, it enriches us. Because if I am serving someone and they say, "Man, John, he's a wonderful servant of God that does lift up God," but who also does that enrich? That enriches my testimony. That enriches me. But we go back to even going through our troubles and tribulations. People do not relate to our successes of plenty. They relate to our problems. People without problems have rarely helped anyone else. And serving others is a sign of health. And when we serve, it enriches not only God, it lifts up the name of God, but enriches us and lifts up our testimony. And we're able to reach more people because of that. Back to our story, the first thing Peter's mother-in-law did when she was raised to health was she began serving. If serving is a sign of health and if it enriches us, then how healthy are you? We have Jesus' example on how he served the whole entire world, but made himself of no reputation. and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Father in heaven, Lord, we close out this evening.